So family, I know that this is kind of the last thing on your list for Christmas, right? Like you're here, everything's done, everything's all sealed up, you're ready for tomorrow, and this is just the cherry on top, the icing on the cake. You're excited, there's no distraction for you, nothing you have to rush out of here and get to or anything like that. And so I just encourage you that as we talk for the next 3 or 4 hours, that you just settle in, and I know somebody in the room just elbowed somebody next to them and said, "That's not true. They have a service at 6:30, right?" Like, yeah, you're right. But I'm excited tonight to share with you what I think is probably it's both the easiest yet most difficult message to share as a pastor every year. Let me tell you why it's the easiest. It never changes, right? Like if you're here and you attend church this time of year because you get dragged, because this is what we're doing as a family on Christmas Eve, and you're going to smile and you're going to put that shirt on and you're going to like every minute of it, right? Because you're not eating until we go to church. Right? And so I know some of you, that's your reality tonight, and you're not going to hear anything new tonight. The Christmas message, the Christmas Eve message, right, is pretty easy, quote unquote, because it never changes. We talk about the same thing and the implications of the same thing, right? Jesus is born. We sing the same songs. It's a pretty big deal to those that believe and trust in Jesus, i.e. the church, to get to be able to do this on Christmas Eve, to celebrate this hope, this faith, this love, this joy, this peace that we get to share, right? And so it never changes. It's difficult. It's also one of the hardest messages to preach every year, because you want it to be different. You want to hear something new. You want to hear something exciting. You're like, okay, preacher, give me your best shot, right? And I'll be honest with you tonight. I'll be honest with you tonight. I don't have that. All I've got is what the hope of the birth of Jesus means to me and what I think it should mean to you. And so, some of you might be disappointed for the next 20 minutes, but that's okay, because I'm going to try to tell you what Christmas means to me. Is that all right? Good, it better be, because I got the microphone. So, if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2, and that's where we're going to be. The words will be on the screen for you as well. But I should introduce myself too, because I know there's a lot of new faces in the room. I'm Travis. I get to be the pastor here. It is honestly like the greatest joy of mine and my family's life to pastor this church. God's doing amazing things here. And if you've never been with us on a Sunday morning, we invite you. We'd love to have you 10 a.m. on Sundays for now. Park anywhere you can find a spot and get in here, and we would love to worship with you and keep telling you about the things that we're so excited about. So, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 15, is where we're going to be tonight. It says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" So let's plant ourselves in the scene for just a second, right? The shepherds are out in the fields, right? It says that they're tending their flocks by night, so it's nighttime, right? And doing what shepherds do at night in the field 2,000 years ago. Sitting. Not much, right? They're probably not scrolling on any apps. They're not doing any of those things, right? They're just sitting out in the field. They're tending their flocks. And then these angels show up and they say, "Hey, we bring you good news of great joy. There's a baby born and he's Christ the Lord." And so then the shepherds have a decision to make, right? Do we go? What do we do? And so the shepherds kind of pull together and they say, let us go and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord's made known to us through the angels. And they went, and I want you to notice this word, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They went with haste. What does that mean? It means they went quickly. Right? They went quickly. I was driving the other evening, and I was driving in a place, and my family in the car. We're just out for a nice, easy drive, and I think we're coming back from somewhere. We were not going with haste, and the person behind me was bothered by that. They were very bothered by that. You would think that they were from a state just a little south of here. Some of you are probably from that state. We love you. We're glad that you're here. We all need Jesus. And I was not apparent, but I was not going with enough haste, right? And so double yellow line. If we've got some police officers in here, I might have a license plate for you. I'm just telling you, just letting you know. But it was a double yellow line, and they zipped right around me. And so I did what any person would do in that moment. Gassed it so hard, right? Gassed it so hard. And so much so that my wife, and I'm so thankful for her helping me drive, said, honey, it's not worth it, right? Honey, it's not worth it. And so I slowed down. I let them have it. And it blessed their hearts. Okay, right? But it says that the shepherds went with haste. They went quickly to see this thing that the angels had made known to them, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered. That word wonder means worshiped, right? They worshiped, they celebrated, they wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard, that they had seen, as it had been told them. What a story, right? And I believe this story tells us five things that are really important for us. And I want to give them all to you tonight, okay? Number one is this. This story shows us that Jesus is our hope, okay? As we gather and celebrate the birth of Jesus, the greatest gift ever given to humanity, as we light candles, as we sing these songs, we're reminded that Christmas, hopefully we're reminded that Christmas is not just about traditions, it's not about presents, it's not about the beauty of the season, the lights, the snow, all the things that we make it about. It's about the arrival of the light of the world. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, okay? We're going to do something that we do typically on a Sunday morning. It might make some of y'all uncomfortable, okay? But when I tell you to look at your neighbor and say something, do it. Okay? You got me? Can we agree that we're going to do that? We're going to buy into it tonight. We're going to buy into the Summit Way tonight. Okay, so look at your neighbor and say, it's all about Jesus. All right, this is good. This is good. Hopefully the 6:30 brings the same energy you're bringing, right? The Gospel of John, which we're talking through verse by verse right now on Sunday mornings, says this, that in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And so Jesus came, yes, just once. And so Jesus came to bring light to our lives, right? And this light isn't just a symbol. It's the hope, it's the joy, it's the peace, it's the love that we so desperately need. And so Jesus is our hope. Did you know that hope is the one thing that separates Christianity from any other religion on the planet? Because we get to talk about hope, right? That there's a hope in a Savior that's came at Christmas, lived 3.5 years, 30, I did the same thing Sunday morning, lived 33.5 years, a sinless life, died so that we could, and then rose again so that we could have access to the God of the universe, to the creator of the universe forever. That's hope. That's hope. Hope not only for yesterday, hope not only for today, but hope for tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. Jesus is our hope. And so in a world filled with uncertainty, in a world filled with struggles, hope is often hard to find, isn't it? Hope's sometimes hard to find today. A hope that is certain, a hope that's solid, a hope that doesn't fade. And I want to tell you tonight that the hope of Christmas, this thing that we're celebrating, this birth that we celebrate this time of year, is not just about wishful thinking. It's about knowing that Jesus has come to redeem us and to give us a future with Him. That's a promise. And so if you're feeling hopeless tonight, if you're feeling weighed down by circumstances, or you're walking into Christmas and you're just burdened, or maybe you're like some of the folks that I've talked to over the last couple of weeks that just can't wait for 2025. They are so done with 2024. Let me remind you, we've started doing this, right? You remember 2020? How quickly we couldn't wait for 2021? And then 2022, and then 2023. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait till next week to live in the hope that Jesus has promised me. It's available right now. It's available today. I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. He set me free in that. And that's the hope that Jesus brings at Christmas. Somebody can say amen. Number two. Somebody say number two. Oh, we're having some fun. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. I once heard this many, many years ago as a young pastor. Someone came to me and said, peace is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of Jesus. And so it makes sense, right, that we celebrate peace at Christmas, because Christmas is when Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth. Born of a virgin, as a baby, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and all those things that we talk about. And so peace is, again, something we search for. Peace in our relationships, peace in our hearts, peace in our world. Yet we've got to come to grips with the fact that peace doesn't come from any of those places. Peace does not come, hear me, peace does not come from who sits in office. Peace does not come from what your bank account reads. Peace does not come from the amount of Facebook friends that you have. Most of them aren't real anyway. Right? Peace doesn't come from those things. Peace comes from the presence of Jesus. Being made known to us, being made real to us. And yet so many of us, even today, so many of us are striving, we're running around with haste, right? Trying to find peace in something. Trying to find peace in an app. Trying to find peace in a raise. Trying to find peace in the store. Trying to find peace in a refrigerator. Maybe that was too close to home at Christmas. But as we gather tonight, I want you to just ask yourself, I want you to think about this. Are we experiencing the peace that Jesus offers? Is there a conflict in our hearts or in relationships that we have? Let's invite the Prince of Peace to come and to restore harmony there. Number three, Jesus is our joy. He's not only our hope, He's not only our peace, but Jesus is our joy. We've talked about in the first two, right? We've talked about how the world offers many temporary joys, don't they? Many temporary joys. Excitement. I remember when this summer we went to a new theme park, and we were so excited to go to this new theme park. And when we got there, you know, you're checking out the roller coasters, right, as you pull into the parking lot, and And the driver of the little trolley thing up there said, that is the world's largest and the country's fastest roller coaster. The world's tallest, excuse me. The world's tallest and the country's fastest roller coaster ever. And I was like, yeah. Anybody else just love roller coasters? Okay, hallelujah. All right, there's only like 10 of you. Okay, all right. I should have chose a different illustration for this one. Okay, right? And so we're riding rides in this day, and all of a sudden it came time for that one. Right, it came time for that one. And so we get in line, right? And I took two kids with me, and then Kristen made a third one come into the line, and they're in tears. They're just like, you know, panicked and in sheer disbelief that they're about to have to ride this thing. And so I'm standing in line, and I start counting, because I'm thinking this is going to be the one of the greatest moments of my life, right? Like Jesus, marriage. This roller coaster. I should throw kids in there too, above that, right? And then maybe pastoring. And then this roller coaster. Like it was gonna be top five, right? Greatest moments in my life. And so I wanted to know how long this experience was gonna last, right? And so I thought to myself, I'm gonna count, right? I'm gonna count. Plus, I'm trying to help the kids. Because then they can know how many seconds they've got to endure this roller coaster to make daddy happy. Right? You know how long it was? When they said fastest, I don't think they meant miles per hour. I think they meant fastest, like actual ride from start to finish. It was 14 seconds long. That's it. And I want you to think about this, fam. I want you to think about this, family. Like, we waited 45 minutes to ride 14 seconds. Pretty stupid if you ask me, right? And so, like, I'm like, okay, it's only going to be 14 seconds, guys. And so some of the kids were like, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's an answer to prayer for me. And I'm like, I'm sitting there mourning and grieving, thinking, okay, I got to savor all 14 of these seconds, right? I got to prep myself. Once I get locked in, once I make sure I'm not too tall or that the thing will latch, right? Because that's a concern for a guy like me. Okay, anyway, right, back to... Once I got in there, I'm like, okay, I got to focus in 14 seconds, right? 14 seconds. And then it takes off. It blows your face off. And then before you know it, you're at the top of this thing. You see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, right? You see the pearly gates, everything. And then it just drops you right back down. And then it whiplashes you forward as it stops you, right? Talk about a temporary joy. 14 seconds of joy that only caused about 2 hours of dizziness. Right? We search for joy in all of these temporary places. The angels proclaimed to the shepherds out in this field as they were tending their flocks by night. The angels proclaimed, I bring you, a lot of you know this, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now that'll preach, right? That's the theme of Christmas. I bring you good news. What's the good news? Jesus is here, right? I bring you good news. Jesus is here. We have a word in the church called gospel. We have a word in Christianity called gospel. The word simply means the good news of Jesus. That Jesus came, that he stepped out of heaven. Right? Because the whole Old Testament of the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi, is searching for a sacrifice sufficient for the sins of mankind that would pay the penalty of sin that we couldn't pay on our own. And Moses and Jonah and all the stories that a lot of us have been told about, they're searching for this sacrifice. They're praying. They're begging God for this sacrifice. They're longing for it. They're expecting for it. And now these angels appear to these most unlikely people in the field and say, hey, behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Right? This is going to be a great joy to you. This is going to change everything about the way that you live. right? Back then in the Old Testament, you couldn't just go to God, right? You couldn't just go to God. You had to have a high priest go before God on your behalf. Guess what? Now we have full access to God. People come to me all the time and they're like, Pastor, you got that special line to the God of the universe. And I'm like, no, I don't. If anything, you probably are closer than I am. We all have equal access to God. So good news of great joy that's going to be for all the people. For God so loved the world. All the people. All the people. All the people. And so family, I don't know about you, but that's exciting news. That no matter what our circumstances are, no matter where we're from, no matter what we've done, no matter what our life has looked like, Jesus is the source of lasting joy. And so this Christmas, my hope for you is that you would choose joy. Not based on what we have or what we don't have, or a 14-second ride that you wait 40 minutes for that only causes you about 2 hours of dizziness and an uneasy stomach. His presence, the presence of Jesus, is the reason for true joy. Number four, Jesus is not only our hope, He's not only our peace, He's not only our joy, but Jesus is our love. I just quoted it to you, John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him, that we might believe in Him. What a beautiful thing. The scripture also says, no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, He sent Jesus to die for us. You know what that tells me, friend? It tells me this. Have you ever been to a car wash? Have you ever been to a car wash? Come on now, come on. It's been a while since I asked for some crowd participation. Okay? There's all kinds of car washes now, right? There's the kid car wash, right? There's the free car wash, right, that you pay $200 for, right? You know what I'm saying? The fundraiser car wash, right? There's the touchless car wash that's as touchless as it is useless, right? You know that one, okay? Right, then there's the one at the scrub-a-dub where it's a whole experience, right? You go through and then it's like you're at Disney World. They got all the characters hanging on the walls and all that stuff. If you haven't been lately, it's a phenomenal thing. The kids love it. Talk about it. I mean, it's longer than 14 seconds. Right? I was once having a conversation with a guy and I was talking to him about Jesus. I was telling him about Jesus, kind of like I am with you tonight. And he said, yeah, you know, Travis, that's awesome. That's great. I've got some things in my life to get cleaned up before I can come to Jesus. There's some things in my life that I've got to come to grips with, that I've got to do some business with God on before I can come to Jesus. And I just looked at him, and I don't know where it came from. It was almost like God was in control of the conversation. But I looked at him and I said, that's like washing your car at home and then going to Scrub-A-Dub and getting a car wash. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because that verse, the love of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas, is that I don't have to clean myself up before I come to Him. Jesus bought me just as I am. Wrinkles and all. Past and everything. Doubts, fears, insecurities. All of it with no return policy. What I'm saying is Jesus knew exactly what He was getting when He left heaven to come to earth so that He could die for me. And He knew exactly what He was getting when He did it for you too. That's the love of Jesus. That He would love you that much. That He would die for all of that. that he would come for all of that because he loves you. And then lastly, number five, Jesus is the light of life. That's what we talk about tonight. That's the candle that we light tonight, that Jesus is hope, Jesus is peace, Jesus is joy, Jesus is love, and he's the light of the world. He's the light of life. Have you ever looked at somebody and just said, man, they light the room up? Aren't those people fun to be around? Like they're exciting, thrilling people to be around. You love to be around those people. I've got some friends that are like that are here tonight. They just light up the room. They just light up the room when you're around them. And you can't get enough of them, right? Jesus is that way for the believer. He is the hope for the hopeless. He's the peace for the troubled. He's the joy for the weary. He's the love that never fails. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus tonight, let's remember that he's the reason we have all these gifts. That he's the reason we have joy, hope, peace, love. And that his light shines in the darkness. And that the promise of Scripture is that no darkness can overcome it. And so as we leave here tonight, we're going to light some candles. We're going to sing a song in just a minute. I want you to remember that the light of Christmas is not just a feeling. It's not a season. It's a person. It's Jesus. And he offers his light to each and every one of us, inviting us to walk in hope, peace, joy, and love. What a beautiful thing, amen? So the worship team is going to come back on stage, and we're going to do something in just a moment. I want to give some instructions before we do. I don't know about you, but as a kid growing up, this is like my favorite thing about Christmas. It's candlelight. So we're going to sing Silent Night together. As we do in just a moment, I'm going to light a candle, and then I've asked some folks to come and help me spread the light all around the room. Now again, kind of, we want you as parents to kind of look at your children and say, should they hold fire in a building that's less than 2 years old? And so just now, as we think, definitely not. Okay, so I just want you to pray about that right now and just see what the Lord would say to you, okay? But as we sing this song, Silent Night, Holy Night, I want you to think about Jesus. And here's what I want you to think about. What's the gift that you need most tonight? Do you need light in some darkness? Do you need joy for the weary? Maybe you're hopeless tonight and you'd say, man, I just need some hope. Maybe this year has been tough indeed and you'd say, Pastor Travis, just some peace. Maybe you're not feeling the love. And you say, you know what? I need the love of Jesus and his presence to just wash over me tonight. Whatever it is for you, I encourage you that as we sing this song, would you just pray? Praying is as simple as just talking to God. And you don't have to do it out loud. We have a saying here around here that says, the God that searches hearts and minds knows exactly what you're praying. And as we sing, as we light these candles, just say, God, I need some hope. God, I need some joy in my life. God, I need some love. God, I need the peace of your presence to wash over me. And so, God, tonight, we invite you into this place again. And ask that your hope, your joy, your peace, your love, and your light would shine over our lives as we sing this together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We invite you to stand as we share in candlelight.